Welcome back to the Boys Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Schaefer, back again with Brian Henn. Brian, it is great to have you for the third week in a row. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. I feel like we've had two awesome weeks so far, and I'm hyped to keep this going.
Me too. I can't believe we're already through week two. I came into week one feeling so good about fantasy football, excited to be back. I know we're going to talk about it later, but the injury bug just had to come so soon, I feel like, for so many teams. And it kind of put a little bit of a damper on my week two of fantasy football, but it is what it is. We have time to get to fantasy football. Brian, I want to hear how your week has been outside of fantasy. It's a Wednesday, so I want to hear what you've been up to, and we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I've had an eventful week so far. Some ups, some downs. I think I should start with the most relevant to the podcast. I got home from work today, and Annie and I were getting ready to go to Spanish class, and Josh texted me out of the blue and was like, you should go check your front porch. And so I go outside and I have an Amazon package from Josh. As a thank you, I have received a professional mic. So now I am a true podcaster. So thanks to you, Josh. In case everybody was wondering why my raspy audio was gone, it is thanks to Josh this week. So cheers to you, buddy. Thank you for that.
Brian, you're making me feel bad. I wasn't asking you how your week was, just so you could tell everybody that I did a nice thing for you.
Deserve credit. You deserve credit. That's not what I was doing at all. But
I know.
Outside of that, we've played a couple kickball games. We won our Tuesday night championship. It's the first time we've ever won a championship on Tuesday night. Yep. We beat a team named Sons of Pitches. they're kind of our arch nemesis on Tuesdays. They're not the best people in the world. Ironically, the pitcher on their team is a guy named Josh who looks almost exactly like you.
Really?
You're a much better person than he is, but yeah, it's funny. So anyway, it's all fun and games. But on Monday, we were playing kickball, and I slipped going to go for a ball, and I fell on my back and like bruised my tailbone, and it has been like such terrible pain this week. PSA to everybody out there, don't injure your tailbone. It is not a lot of fun. I like standing up, sitting down, painful, like twisting, painful. It has not been a ton of fun. So
Brian, that's horrible.
Yeah. So
wait, you won the kickball league though? What was Annie's reaction? I feel like she had to be over the moon, right?
She caught the last out of the last inning. So it was like utter joy. She was playing left field, and they had, you know, like a long fly ball, and she caught it, and our whole team kind of rushed her and stuff to celebrate. So it was a good time. I went straight to the handshake line, because I'm like, I don't want to give them the benefit of thinking that I've been like waiting years and years for this. I just, you know, just another game to me. We knew we were going to beat them. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Even though they've beaten us like the last four seasons, we knew we were going to beat them.
So this is the team that always wins though. Like
totally. Yeah. Okay. I mean, credit to like, they're a really good team, but they've beaten us every year before this, but not last night. So it was sweet.
Yeah, I know Austin would have a take on why your team has lost in the past. No, I'm just
very true. Very true. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm so happy for you guys. I feel like, I don't know, I don't feel like you, it's one of those things where you probably don't even expect to win, right? You're just like, I'm just out here having a good time. So when you win and have fun, that's great.
It's a blast. So what about you? How's your week been?
Wait, before me though, the tailbone thing, like still, like right now, does it hurt?
Oh yeah, totally. I'm like, I'm having to sit in this chair in like a very specific, you know, specific posture so that it doesn't hurt. It's really sore.
I'm laughing at the tone that you're just like, yeah, oh yeah, it really.
Yep.
Can you
Yeah.
like, does it feel better when you're walking around or laying down or just like all the time?
It's at its worst, like standing up or sitting down.
Mm.
It's kind of like a dull pain when I'm walking, but it's like total, it's pretty manageable. It's not a big deal. Like, I mean, I played two kickball games last night on it, so it obviously isn't that bad, but
Blue
it's
game.
mostly just, yeah, mostly just up and down. That's rough.
Wow, I'm sure when you said you slipped though, like slipped backwards.
Yes, I was right in front of Austin, actually. I went for a ball that was right next to him, and I just planted and was turning to like throw to first, and I'm wearing cleats, mind you, so this should never happen, but my cleats fell out from under me, and I kind of fell straight on my backside, and
Oh.
yeah,
Brian, you've
it
got a
was like
long way to
it
fall.
was,
When you fall, it's a
oh yeah,
long, it's
yeah.
yeah,
It's
it's
like a
like,
minor earthquake hits the field
yeah.
too.
No, I wasn't saying
No, I know you're not, but I
that.
mean, I'm a big guy. I don't make any bones about that. But like it's a long way down. It's a big impact. Like I was when I got to the sideline, I was like borderline nauseous because it was like so painful.
Did you like roll around on the ground a little bit, or were you like immediately back up, like act like nothing happened? Like, what was the pride impact of this?
I don't remember. Austin kind of helped me back up a little bit. And so I think it was like pretty quick. Like, I think he was like, what the hell did you just do? But yeah, I mean, it was pretty quick. And then it was just like, I'm the pitcher. And so like, I took a couple laps around the pitcher's mound and like the ump like asked me if I was okay and stuff. So that was a little embarrassing, but, yeah, you rub some dirt on it, you know. Shake it off, move on. So, but no, it's been very painful.
Oh man, that sucks, Brian. I feel like I have bruised my tailbone before, and it really hurts.
It's
It's
so
just,
tender, like it doesn't take much.
yeah. I mean, no, you can't get spanked at all probably right now. You're like on a
No,
note.
it sucks.
Wow, that sounds like a great week. Truly some ups and downs in there. You
Totally.
literally went down.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah. What about you?
My week has been good. Back in Seattle for a couple of weeks now, which has been nice. Louise was gone this weekend, so it's nice just to be. I like played some basketball, played video games, went on a hike, and then my friend from Tennessee came into town, so we got dinner a few times this week. It's been
Nice.
just a classic, like good work week. Work has been really good too, so. I'm just enjoying the last few days of summer, going to the apple orchard this weekend. I'm a big apple guy. I bet on average I eat 1.5 apples per day.
Really?
Yes, I
All
eat
year?
all year, all year.
Dang.
I eat a ton of apples.
I
And it's
love that.
weird. And it's weird because I haven't had any. I've been lazy and I haven't gone to Trader Joe's the last few days. And I fart a lot, like just in general. And I've noticed that I haven't had apples the last like 3 days. The farts per hour are way down. Way
Wow.
down. I know.
I
I
didn't.
know.
I didn't realize there was a correlation
I
between
think
that.
there's a lot of fiber in apples.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's almost like debilitating, I think, at times, because like if I go into work, like you can't fart in the office, right?
Well, you can.
Like.
You can, but you shouldn't.
I hate farting at work because if you fart in your office, you just are like praying for the next 5 minutes that nobody comes by to see you,
Yeah.
it's scary. So I will tend to suck it in and then it makes my stomach like kind of weird, Do you have
Yeah.
this? Do you
Totally.
fart
I do, but I
at
purposely get up and close my
work?
office door whenever I need to. But the bad thing is like sometimes I'll close it and then like 30 seconds later somebody comes and knocks on my door. And like I'm like, well, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not in here. So, because they probably heard me and wanted to make sure everything was okay. But But
Wait, so
yeah.
you have had that happen where you farted, you know it smells, and then someone comes in your office?
Oh, yep. And you just
Oh,
you have to stare them down, and it is kind of a spoken under, you know, an unspoken understanding between the two of you that you both know what happened, and neither of you is going to talk about
like,
it.
has it been your boss before?
No, thankfully my boss doesn't work in Seymour, so like there's nobody like higher than me that would come into my office, but I have like some of my managers or employees or stuff that would come in. So
Your subordinates probably think you're a freak. Like, Brian's just sitting.
I
It doesn't take too many of, if you have more than one of those, like
Yep.
if you're an individual employee.
Yep. Oh, they
Okay.
probably all talk about it too.
Oh,
Yeah.
you're going to Brian's office?
Yeah. Wear a mask.
But okay, yes, that's how I feel. So that's another reason I like working from home, is because you can just freely.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Yeah, it's great. But a big Apple guy, all that to say, love the apples. And so I'm going to go pick some Honeycrisps this weekend,
That's
which are
awesome.
my apple of choice. If any of you guys eat any other apple but Honeycrisp, the only acceptable apple to eat is Cosmic Crisp. Those are the two
Amazing.
best apples. Yeah. I don't know. Are you an apple guy, fruit guy?
I do like apples, not nearly at that pace, but I would say I mean, they're probably my favorite fruit of all. Yeah, like apples are great.
Yeah, really good. Just
Yeah.
I love it.
I need to like get into the habit of eating them routinely. Like I'm the type that
Yes.
like I'll be at the grocery store and I'll see apples. I'm like, oh, those look great. And I'll get a bag and enjoy it. But then I like don't think about, you know, to get it again.
For sure. Yeah,
So
whenever I go through the Trader Joe's checkout line, they're like, "How many of these did you get?" And I'm like, 10, like 10 apples. And they're like, "Are
amazing.
they all the same?" Yeah. And the thing about the apple, though, is I think apples, if you eat them like just straight up holding them, maybe like a B or C tier fruit. But if you cut an apple up into pieces, it is the most elite fruit, in my opinion, because
Yeah.
so enjoyable to eat.
I would agree. It does infinitely increase the enjoyment to cut them up.
I cut up every single apple that I eat. So
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. It should be a lot of fun. So yeah, my week has been good.
Good.
Brian, okay, it's fantasy football time. That was great though. I love
That
that.
was.
Thank you for sharing about your kickball week. I'm very glad that you guys won.
Thank you.
But the not everybody won this week.
No.
we had some losers in the league this week. Brian, I want to start with you on how you were feeling about week two. Let's go where your perspective is on the whole league, and then I want to hear about like how you felt about your individual team's performance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was you know, another week of kind of what we've been talking about wanting, like a lot of variety. We had a lot of teams that were close. It was another week where, you know, literally multiple table spots were determined in the last 5 minutes of Monday Night Football. Probably not quite as many as week one, but still, you know, a significant portion. I think, you know, first to call out, Mike had probably, you know, his one of his premier performances. Like he really showed out, made a big impact. You know, Tommy really jumped. He had a, kind of a tough week one. He made a big bounce back. You know, a couple at the bottom, Colin and Matt. You know, Matt kind of fell from grace after having a really solid week one, maybe overperforming a little bit. And you know, speaking of the league as a whole, like Colin's in a little bit of an early hole at the bottom. I 3 points through 2 weeks is a really slow start. Shocking to see Sloan that far down the table. He's got a little bit of a hole to pull himself out of. Now, granted, he's had a lot of, you know, kind of weird injury situations, but yeah, I mean, I think it's been an awesome start to the season. I think we're already starting to see, I mean, you're obviously separating yourself to an extent. I think Dylan and Mike are probably a week or two away from doing the same thing, but I think it's been a really entertaining first 2 weeks. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree. Another great week of the table. Ongood's move from, seventh to, I think he got
Fifth.
fifth overall this week was pretty impressive on that last Darnell Mooney miracle drive after Saquon literally choked the game away on Monday Night Football. That was a lot of fun. I mean, the NFL just keeps on giving, I think, as a sport to watch. There is nothing like the 10 o'clock games on a Sunday. I guess for me it's 10 o'clock, but for you guys it's 1 o'clock on a Sunday. That last hour before the afternoon games kick off is both NFL heaven and fantasy heaven. Like, so many things are happening at that point in time. It is so much fun to watch the league. In terms of the table this week, I think things went pretty much as expected. It's really interesting, like you mentioned, to see Colin at the bottom, 184 points through 2 weeks, pretty abysmal. But Ongood in eighth, I think, is absolutely shocking with 199 points. It's only 15 more than Colin, but 4 more table points. The offenses started to pick up a little bit this week. You know, it was a little bit better. I still don't think most people are pleased with how their teams are performing. But overall, you know, it continues to be a fun time. Mike is pushing into the playoffs. I'm glad to see you there. The names are getting pretty similar, I would say. I don't hope per se, but it'll be interesting if Sloan's team comes back and kind of makes the playoff push over the next 5 to 7 weeks. But definitely in a bit of a hole. 1 week can turn it around, but I think he's a little concerned. Brian, how are you feeling about your team through week two?
I have felt good. I would agree that I've probably fallen to the category of, you know, somebody who hasn't really felt great about my team's performance. I think I've gotten a little lucky through the first 2 weeks at my table positioning, where I've kind of been, you know, I think in both situations or both weeks, I've kind of been able to position myself like just above the fray of, like, you know, I've been 2 or 3 points above, you know, a group of, you know, the middle teams each week to separate myself on the table. But I definitely don't think I've put forth, you know, my best performance or anything. The AJ Brown injury this last week was very frustrating. This is 2 weeks in a row now that I've had one of my, you know, one of my starters, T. Higgins in week one and AJ Brown in week two, go from, you know, completely healthy to, you know, ruled out in the matter of like 12 hours, you know, on Friday afternoon. So that was kind of frustrating to have to manage through again, especially for arguably my best player. So, but I mean, like, I think, you know, given what I was looking to do with my team this year, being, you know, being fourth in the table at this point, only 2 points behind Dylan, and with a 2 point lead on Tommy for fifth, you know, I can't be too upset with that, especially, you know, coupled with the idea that I don't think I've put forth my best performances. I do want to call out, you were talking about, you know, the NFL being, you know, kind of the gift that keeps on giving. Monday Night Football, we talked about, you know, you mentioned that last drive of the game and how impactful it was. The drive before that, when the Eagles were, you know, going in to score, and it was like 2 minutes left on the clock, they obviously were trying to burn Atlanta's timeout. And they were just handing the ball to Saquon, handing the ball to Saquon each trip down. I did the math, of course, like during one of the timeouts, and it was like Austin needed a 12-yard rushing touchdown to beat me, or to, I think, like, for me to still be able to beat him, I needed 12, he needed 12 yards or less, and they were like on the 13-yard line. Like, it was literally a single yard. And so it was essentially like, if Saquon gets every yard between here and the goal line, which why wouldn't he,
Yeah.
and scores, I'm screwed. So I got, and then when they drop back to pass, I'm like, oh, it's over. Like, this is it. Thankfully, Saquon dropped it. And again, I thought I was out of the woods, and then Falcons get the ball, and all of a sudden, Ongut's coming tearing out of nowhere,
I
you know,
know.
shooting to the top. So, yeah, you know, same question for you. How have you felt? I have to imagine you feel great through your first 2 weeks, but not to say you haven't faced some of your own challenges.
For sure. I will to address your team first. You did finish as well as you possibly could have in the table, given the points that you had. I mean, the next jump between you and the next place is 123, I think. So 109, 123, that's a huge win for you this week. You definitely need it if you're going to make that playoff push this year, which The injuries are tough. I think you're still on the fence.
Yeah,
But
I do too.
you have a shot at least. You're in the mix, especially as the bad teams are looking pretty bad at this point. For my team, it was another one of those weeks where, unfortunately, on Monday night, you just knew already that you had crushed the whole league, right? I think I had one, like I think I was projected like 50 points more than the rest of the team, so rest of the league. So I didn't get to enjoy the table on Monday night quite as much. Gift, curse. I think it is probably a gift because there is something horrible about watching Monday Night Football and your brain just only thinking about the fantasy points of every player that touches the ball.
Yep.
I find that to be the curse of the table format, is that it makes it impossible to watch football like a normal human. You're just like, boom, 2 points for Austin, 6 points for Ongood, 3 points for Josh for Jalen Hurts touchdown. You're like the Zach Galifianakis gif of watching all the points accumulate for all of the other teams. So good for me. I got to actually enjoy the game. But for the team, the Cooper Kupp injury sucks. Like I said, I have Cooper Kupp in every single league that I'm in. And I love Cooper Kupp, and he is really good. And it hurts to see him get injured. There, obviously, I put up 170. That was a great week. Quarterbacks played well. Alvin Kamara had a crazy week. Outside of that, I'm feeling okay. Diggs, Kelsey, a little bit concerning. I think the biggest piece I'm concerned about right now is Travis Kelsey. Obviously, that's a luxury, right? When you have the team that I have, that you just have to be concerned about your tight end. But four catches or three catches through 2 weeks with Travis Kelsey is not what you would expect. But maybe at age 36, this is what it's come to be. So I am pleased with the performance through 2 weeks. But my biggest thing for my team at this point is I really just don't want people to get injured. So if you can stay healthy, that is what I care about the most, rather than making sure that we're putting up 170 a week. I don't I'm gonna I it would take an absolute meltdown for me to miss the playoffs, given the depth and the assets that I have, because I am going all in this year. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Another good week, but long term, it starts to scare you with the injury bug. And I think it's a good time to talk about it, Brian. Before the podcast, you had brought up all of the teams and all of the injuries this year. I don't know if you have the list handy, but I think it would be great to read out to the boys of all of the injuries we've had just through week two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this speaks to kind of two themes of the first, first couple of weeks that I think are important. And we kind of touched on the first one originally. Week one is always kind of a dud in terms of, fantasy performance. It feels like everybody's still warming up. But typically, I feel like in years past, week two has been kind of this total reversal, and you see these huge points put up. And it was yet again another week where it was pretty dead.
Yeah.
I think I forget if it was sent in the group chat or if I got sent it individually or whatever, but I saw a stat about how the amount of passing touchdowns thrown in this season is like the lowest it's been at any point in the last 5 years by like 25 to 30 touchdown passes. So like, it's clearly been kind of a slow start to the fantasy year. And then I
Yeah.
think the other key point, and we could circle back to that first one if we want to, but the other key point is all the big injuries. Like I thought it was, I was looking at my team, like, man, I'm having a bad start to the year from an injury perspective. But then when you look at it league wide, it is like, wow, it has come to hurt almost every team in this league. So here's just a list of, what I would consider key fantasy contributors that have missed time just through the first 2 weeks of this season. So Christian McCaffrey, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, T. Higgins, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, Isaiah Pacheco, Keenan Allen, Joe Mixon, Jordan Addison, Kenneth Walker III, Russell Wilson, and Raheem Mostert. What is your take on that list?
When I was not thinking about fantasy football on the metaphorical beach of having to think about fantasy football for the 6 months, one of the things I forgot about heading into this year was the pain of injuries. When you spend all this time putting together what is in, potentially your own perfect roster with the assets that you have. It's not just me, it's everybody's trying to put together their own best version of their roster. And injuries take that away. I'm remembering why I was so pissed at the end of last year, because football is some bullshit on this kind of stuff, right? You have no control over what happens. You're purely watching, setting your lineup. If it was me, I would rest Cooper Kupp all year and wait to bring him out until week 14. That's why I'm probably not a NFL head coach, but I am a fantasy owner, and I wish that Sean McVay would have done something like that. So when I see these lists, it's good to know that it's not just me, because I think the list is really helpful, because I see Cooper Kupp go out, I'm like, of course, this old guy going out. But the names that you listed are a variety of ages. It's not just the 30-year-old vets that are getting injured. It's, the T. Higgins, AJ Brown, these people who are still in their mid-20s, like we are, Brian. So injuries can strike anybody, but it still sucks when it happens. I don't wish an injury on any team, except for maybe one. So when they happen to others, it makes me sad. What about you? What do you think, Brian?
The crazy part too is like just flipping through each team's IR, the list that I read off doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of some of the players that were injured even before the season. Like you still have Nick Chubb out, you still have you have JJ McCarthy injured, you have who was it? Hollywood Brown is out. Jonathan Brooks on the Panthers, who probably could be somebody that you would look to start depending on the situation. Like
For
there's
sure.
plenty of David Njoku missed a week, like Jake Ferguson,
Evan Ingram, I think, is
Evan
hurt.
Ingram,
T.J.
like
Hockenson, the tight end this year has been an absolute disaster. There is no tight end you can trust at this point.
I do. I know that I very shamelessly plug this on just about every episode that we do, but I think this is yet another, and I'm going to get closer to the mic so that everybody can hear me.
I
Yet
want to
another
hear.
reason why we need to go to one starting running back in our rosters.
Boo.
But hear me
Why
out
don't
here.
we just start one of each position? That would make it more
I'd be fine with that.
fun.
Isaiah Pacheco is the exact example of why the running back position is so terrible. He is a plug and play starter, any roster in this league. And now that he is out, you can make an argument that there are three different players that are like the Chiefs' go-to running back. And arguably, you can't start any of them now.
No, you for sure
And I
can't.
think that's ridiculous. We barely have any workhorse running backs left in the league. And now we just lost another one for another 6 to 8 months, and this, or 6 to 8 weeks. And this is exactly the type of situation that is going to take Pacheco from being a great asset to a risky, like 50-50 running back. They're totally going to find, when he comes back, he's going to have split time for the rest of the season. Next year, they're going to bring in competition. He will never again be a, 80% bell cow running back.
You are right, Brian, but I think this is it. Sometimes I feel like your opinions on this, you're trying to limit the skill gap for fantasy football, because running backs are a beautiful example of the skill gap. Obviously, the injuries suck, but it is a known risk that running backs get injured and are highly replaceable. It's not a mystery. So the teams that choose to roster good running backs either have to be really good, know that they're going to make the playoffs, or be willing to take the risk of, if this person gets injured, that it's going to really decimate my team. And if I don't, or I need to make sure that I'm going to roster their backup. You saw Sloan acquire Jordan Mason. You saw Sloan acquire Dameon Pierce. This is part of being a good owner, that you own the layers of your team so that if somebody gets injured, you're ready to go. I think the running back position gives you the most opportunity to find guys who are kind of on the outskirts and actually have serviceable players. Think about the trade you made this week. We were kind of like, Rashad White, of course. Why would you not want him? Brian Robinson goes crazy this week. Somebody that I don't think anybody really wants on their team. You've seen him get passed around the league multiple times. No team really holds him for that long. Kind of a good asset. Even somebody like Zeke Elliott, who you had last year, gets traded for a third. That's a serviceable starting running back when he's like RB22 or like RB28 or something, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it allows you to work on the outskirts a little bit more. The wide receivers, I think there's the great guys and you want those guys. And then there's the Pittmans, Higgins, Godwins, that middle tier that we've kind of talked about. But I do like how running backs, you can get some of these productive ones for cheap just because they're not the cream of the crop. David Montgomery is another good example.
Yeah. It's a very valid point, and I just think it feels so random to me, and I think that's what frustrates me the most about it, is it's so unpredictable. And I think you're right that you can prepare for it in terms of having your backup and all this kind of stuff, but like you use the Pacheco example, Matt could have gone out and acquired a Carson Steele, or had picked up whoever was P. Ryan on waivers. But how is he ever supposed to plan for them bringing in Kareem Hunt out of the blue? And like, now very well Kareem Hunt could be the starting running back in Kansas City. Like, I don't know, that kind of stuff. It's just teams are so unpredictable with their running backs that you're totally right. There is a skill gap there. It's about paying attention. It's about thinking ahead. It's about being prepared. But it also just, man, it just feels so random sometimes. And that's what gets to me.
I agree with you. The injury, the randomness does suck because it could be some random seventh round pick that all of a sudden becomes like the go-to guy. The other thing about the running backs, Brian, and I think you could appreciate this as a team that spent a couple of years being quite bad in this league, is it is a great way to coming back to being a, it's a good way to work back. Same as you've seen the quarterbacks be an opportunity to work back. If you roster a backup running back that's getting playing time, it's a great asset to trade and move on from for a bad team that doesn't really have a need for somebody like that. So
Yeah.
there's value for multiple angles. I think it helps. I see what you're saying. The randomness sucks. Fantasy football is the most random thing. And the sooner you realize that, Brian, when you become a really, really good team, which I know you will one day, is that is what will cause you the most pain, is accepting the randomness. It has really hurt. It has really hurt.
Yeah.
It
No,
really
I
hurts.
totally agree.
Brian, I have a surprise topic for you this week that I didn't bring up for you
Ooh.
before we met. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about it and I forgot to text you about it.
I'm
Wait, do you have
excited.
anything more on this week's results that you want to talk about?
No, not now. Now that you've told me that you have a surprise for me, we're moving on now.
Okay, let me set the stage. So, it's Sunday. I'm watching football. Enjoying the afternoon games, which would be for me the 1 o'clock start games. And it might even be later than that. It might have been just about Sunday night football starting. I look on my phone, I see a text from Sloan Schaefer. And I'm expecting, oh, Sloan's probably trying to trade for like Diggs or probably bitching at me for something I did wrong as the commissioner. And the text from Sloan says, I'm having serious thoughts that this might be my last season of fantasy football. Just takes up time and makes watching the games less enjoyable. I also don't want to go to Waffle House if I lose while I have a kid at home. So I receive this text from Sloan and I say, I definitely get that. It does take up a lot of time. We would miss having you, but everyone has their time when they have to go. I will say, you've already traded your 26 and 27 firsts. So I would expect that you would pay for those years that you've traded the picks, similar to what we've discussed in the past. So might as well stick it out the next few years while you've already paid for it. So Sloan and I go on and back and forth, and I say, hey, the podcast takes a lot of energy out of you. You should just focus on your team this year. Brian and I will run the podcast. We'll have you back. I can't believe I didn't text you about this, Brian, but
This is awesome.
how do you feel about
What?
hearing the first? Ongood has messaged me. He might. I don't think he's messaged me. He's going to quit, but he's hurting. How are you feeling knowing that we have some potential defectors at this point?
I'm so torn on this. Like, I get it. I don't have a child on the way. I get that there's like an added time pressure and stuff. I guess I have a hard time imagining that there's not enough time in your day, even as a parent, to set your lineups, check your roster for 3 minutes. But to each their
Let's
own.
point out real quick that our three-time back-to-back champion has a child and also gives the
That's
least shit about fantasy football of anybody.
very true. Very true.
Sorry, Ryan, continue. Yes.
I mean, as somebody that wants like this league's 10 core members to stick it out until we're like 70, it is definitely painful to hear that not even 4 seasons in, we already have somebody, at least partially considering quitting next year. Would hate to see you go, Sloan. I hope you decide not to do that. Obviously, everybody has to make the decision for themselves. I have way too much fun with this. I think it's an awesome thing for all of us to discuss too. I would hate for you to not be a part of it. But I guess he has to do what he has to do. I'm a little disappointed to hear that though. What were your thoughts?
Well, before I share my thoughts, I need to hold all league members accountable because it's unfair of me to just call out Sloan. So September 7th, 11 days ago, I text Ongood and I say, "Ongood, whatever happens to Jordan Love, do not trade for one of Mike's QBs." I text out of the blue. He says, "If Jordan Love is out for the year, I will be exploring leaving the league. I want to do a redraft dynasty league. I fucked up so bad. I feel like the Brooklyn Nets, as in I want to start over." I say to Ongood, "Ongood, these are the darkest days of your fantasy career. You can either quit or persevere and rebuild your team from the ground up. The punishment gets easier every time you lose, so you might as well stick it out at this point." Eventually, I think he comes around a little bit, but I think some of the teams are starting to waver, Brian. To be honest, I figured that this would eventually happen at some point. I love playing fantasy football with all of you guys. Dynasty does take a lot of commitment, and I think every year as we start to see teams separate from the pack, you see a team like Mike's, you see a team like mine or Dylan's or, Tommy three-peating, and if you have a really bad team or a team that you think has no longevity, like Sloan's does, right? No picks in 26, 27. If he doesn't win this year, he's in a really tough place. I can see the, well, it was fun 4 years ago to have a bad team and think about your rebuild. It's a little bit harder now to think about why you would want to continue to do that. And it takes a lot of time to actually do a rebuild because the teams that are good in our league, it's because they try really hard at fantasy football. It's not, I mean, okay, Tommy, okay, exclude Tommy. Me and Mike, you, Dylan, like the every we have a lot of people who try quite hard at fantasy football. I would say just about everybody does. And so if you're going to be really good and you're bad, you have to put a lot of time into it. So I understand the perspective on it. I hope neither Sloan nor Ongood leave the league. I love having you both in the league and what you bring to it. And finding a backfill, I think, would be really weird. I know you and I, Brian, are both in a Reddit league. And it's just not even close to the same,
It
like the
no.
amount that I care about it. It's like maybe 25% of how much I care about this league.
Same.
And if we lose members, that does inevitably impact it. I would still want to win, but it's even better knowing that you can win, go to our annual boys weekend and know that you are the winner among all of those people. Now, our winner never goes to boys weekend at this point, but if they were there 1 year, it would be a great experience to be able to around all of your friends, knowing that you are the best at fantasy football.
I totally agree. I hope that doesn't happen because I have way too much fun with the banter back and forth. And I guess too, I'm a little salty because I think Mike and I are the two that have the right to feel this way as teams that from the very beginning have worked on a long, long rebuild that has taken us 4 years to get to playoff contention, to hear Sloan, who has had a playoff caliber team it all every season, is ready to quit the first year that his team is. non-playoff caliber 2 weeks in, mind you. Like
2 weeks in.
he could still win the league for all we know. That makes me a little frustrated. But I mean, everybody has their own reasons. I get it. For Angad, like, I also, this is the bed you made for
I
yourself.
get it, man.
I get it, but it's also just like Angad is good enough at fantasy and he cares enough about fantasy. Like, I want to see him dig himself out of this. Like, he can do it. I'm
Yeah.
not, it will take a little while, but like, he can totally do it. He's already gotten through the worst punishment of it.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
if in and if he were to lose this year, his, his third punishment would be, borderline easy. Like, at that point, what's it matter? Like, keep losing, keep getting your first round. Like, he has his pick next year. No, I don't think there's, I think Angad has a bright enough future that he can recover from this.
I agree.
And it's just, I don't know, Sloan's capable too. He knows enough about football. He's stayed competitive through every season of this dynasty so far.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't know.
not easy. It's not easy to stay competitive. Being
Yeah.
a good team is hard. Trading your picks, knowing who to trade for is not easy.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I understand on Sloan, and you can call me soft, and obviously I want your perspective on this as somebody who has
Normally, I'm
experience.
the
So
soft one.
we'll wait till you hear what I'm about to say. I think every year that I get older, which is every year, I get a little bit cooler on the Waffle House punishment. I still like having a punishment, but the idea of the punishment being like scary, in terms of like, I mean, obviously a punishment should be scary, but being there's a this may sound crazy, but I feel like there's a part of me that feels like it's life-threatening to do this punishment.
After watching Colin do it, I tend to agree.
Colin's response to it has been the scariest to me of either like you and Angad. I feel like we're like, oh, it's a tough day. But Colin, when I hear about Colin's, I'm like, oh God, that sounds absolutely horrible.
The
So I.
worst, the real quick, the worst part about his was the confidence that he, the gap between
Yes.
the confidence that he went in with and the like depression that he came out with.
100%. Oh my gosh. Colin, yeah, he was so confident going into it. And I think for me that kind of did it of like, oh man. And I think that's probably what we're seeing a little bit in Sloan. I'm thinking that most of Sloan's potential want to leave the league would be driven by the punishment. And one of the things I texted Sloan is if you finish last, you could beg the other losers to not have to do the punishment or do some modified version of it. Because, I'm sure they would rather keep you in the league than lose you because of Waffle House. I'm not saying we should set the bar of like, if you're gonna just whine about it, you don't have to do it. But, if
Yeah,
there's
I
no other
mean,
options.
I you're definitely right. Like, I Sloan and everybody for that matter staying in the league is much more important to me than other people doing the Waffle House challenge.
Threatening to quit makes you lame, though. Stop threatening to quit.
I agree. I definitely agree. And that's like you said, I think that's a bad precedent to set that you can just,
Yes.
threaten to quit to get out of a punishment. And I think if Colin, maybe we'll have Colin join the podcast at some point and talk about his Waffle House experience. But I feel like if he were to tackle that again, I think he would go about it differently, and I think it would be a better outcome. Like, I think it was his strategy that he went for and like the mindset that he had for what he expected of himself that was what, made it so miserable. Because like mine, not fun. It was a long day, but it was like I was fine the whole time.
Yeah.
Now maybe the lasting impacts that it had wasn't good, but and that's why like I would agree with you too that the Waffle House punishment is less and less important for me as we go forward with this. I just think it's fun the like that it adds intrigue to the bottom of the
Sure.
table that
Yes.
it's like and we've talked about this in the past that it impacts value of players because teams want to avoid the bottom. But it's not so important to me that I would hold on to that. And the other thing too is like I have a hard time imagining we would be able to A, find a substitute to take over a team, and B, also keep the punishment in there and say,
Yes,
hey, you're going to join
that's a
this
great
league that you
point.
haven't, you're going to take over this team that you haven't had any work on. And if you lose, you're going to go eat waffles for 24 hours. So
Yeah,
watch
and
out.
likely the team is garbage. You know, like if somebody's leaving, they're not leaving because they think they're going to win the championship next year, which I think is inherently why I don't like the idea of leaving. Because if your team was good, you would probably stick it out, right? Like if you felt like you had a shot at the championship.
And that's my point. Like, Sloan wasn't threatening to quit last year when he was putting up 10-point week after 10-point week. So,
I agree. Sloan Ongut, I'm sorry if I betrayed your trust for content. I want all of you to feel like you can text me if you want to leave the league. Just know I will both assuage your concerns and also put you on blast live for the rest of the league so that you know. So it's
content
still
is king, guys.
content is king. It's good for us. We need to talk about it. We need stuff for the podcast. So maybe everyone can text me that they're threatening to leave. But yeah, I agree, Brian. That's a great point about people would leave. Maybe the alternative is we need to come up with a punishment that is equally as embarrassing as the pain of the Waffle House, you know? So there's like a pain, physical pain, or like embarrassment pain. So that people who are like actually afraid of eating that much food could do something else that would be whatever.
Well,
Oh, go ahead.
yeah, I think there's a lot to like. Colin Onga and I all agreed on the idea of like the second time you lose, there's these, four or five different options for you for your punishment. I'm sure we could do something similar with the first time too, if that's what people wanted. To me, it's like I don't know. We're all friends. Like it's the punishment piece is supposed to be like a I don't know, a fun part of the league.
I
Like,
agree.
I didn't enjoy Waffle House, but it was fun to like that you FaceTimed me while I was there and that Matt and Sloan and Dylan and everybody came and sat with me. And like, it was fun to get to go, go sit with Colin and stuff. And I don't know, it's supposed to be a good time.
I agree.
But it's not worth people quitting over. So
No.
I hope you guys reconsider. You guys are valued members of the league. You can handle the 5-minute time commitment per week that it takes.
And
But
you can handle a 3-year rebuild. It's okay. Mike did it and didn't finish last any of the years. This is the luck part of fantasy football, is you can be really bad and not finish last, right?
Totally.
So there's a lot to it. Okay, Brian, that was my special
Love
topic.
that. Thanks for doing that.
Yes, I'm glad I remembered it. I would have been so disappointed if I forgot. Okay, so we have one more topic to talk about, and it's something we've touched on briefly in the past of wanting to look back at the rookie drafts and just kind of evaluate, right? We have our own data of these years of picks. Now, everybody, you could go back and look at these, for any league and see the value of second, third round picks. But I think the unique perspective we can have is, who's been good at drafting in these leagues is we can actually go back and see it and where there might be some opportunities for certain teams or, while also looking at the value of second and third round picks. So I think the year that we've decided to start with is 2022, which is our first rookie draft. This was the year where you first overall took Breece Hall, second pick, Drake London. We talked about Drake London a little bit last week about how that is at this point a disappointment. It's interesting to me in that I said, oh, that's a disappointment with the second overall pick. When you look at picks 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, which is Treylon Burks, Kenneth Walker, Jameson Williams, Sky Moore, Kenny Pickett. It actually feels like, and then 10 is Jahan Dotson. So I'm feeling pretty good about Drake London second overall. I mean, unless you would have reached for Garrett Wilson, I don't know. I think it's a pretty good pick. What are you thinking looking back at the draft board? I haven't looked back at it in a while.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually so interesting to review the first round and see what I could have had. I would say in a redraft situation, you'd probably want to get Garrett Wilson there, but man, like some of those other names, I'm so grateful I dodged with that second pick. I was a big Drake London fan coming in, and I haven't totally given up on him. I think compared to what you expect to get from the second overall pick, it's not there. The value isn't quite there yet. But compared to the other options, I think it's about as good as I could have hoped for.
If you're doing a redraft here, are you let and you're just doing the first round, it's probably Breece Hall. I don't know, Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson, one of the two. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Olave, and then London, and then it's probably Kenneth Walker or James, probably Kenneth Walker and then Jameson Williams. So you pick the
Yeah.
fourth best player in the first round. I think that's pretty good. And you're not, I mean, nobody in our league has proven, except for Colin a little bit, that they're willing to reach for a player that's, six or
Yeah.
seven spots out of their ADP in the league. So I don't know. I think you did pretty well in this draft in retrospect. You did take two good players that held good value. And I think
Yeah.
that's the win, is holding value, even if they're not that good.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I mean, Breece Hall has been such a godsend for me, kind of locking down that RB1 spot. He looks like, knock on wood, he's going to be able to maintain that for a while. And this was also the year too. I traded back into the first round with Mike to go get Kenny Pickett at the end there. And obviously Kenny Pickett has not panned out, but that's just one of those, like, it's a starting quarterback. You got to go get starting quarterback value. And obviously that did not last very long. But yeah, I mean, it was a fascinating first round. Like, crazy that there were that many misses in our first rookie draft. And not, again, like you mentioned, it's not people like making wrong picks necessarily. Like, at the time they made sense. But yeah, I mean, it's what one, I would call it four busts, like 40%, miss rate in the first round of the first rookie draft.
For sure. Sky Moore, Kenny Pickett, Dotson, lock and miss.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams having a bit of a comeback right now. I mean, but Treylon Burks is the other lock and miss. So there's the four lock
Totally.
ins. And
Yep.
then Jameson Williams and Kenneth Walker, I think probably still on the fence. I know a lot of people love Kenneth Walker, but he can't stay on the field. So it's hard
Yeah.
to say that he's like a true winner through all of this.
Those could go either way. I mean, here in about a year or two, this could be a 60% miss rate in the first round.
Yeah. I think. The I you know Mike had three picks: Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Sky Moore in this draft. Jameson Williams, luckily having a comeback year, was could have gone either way, and who knows how it will continue. But yeah, I think the worst pick of the draft is probably Dylan. I mean, that Treylon Burks, Treylon was absolutely horrible. Now Dylan was able to trade out of him and get some value back, but that Treylon Burks at 1.3 looks horribly ugly now, and it felt really good when Dylan made the pick at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's who I would have taken there, definitely. But it didn't feel like, and it happened quickly too. Like, it was like halfway through his rookie season where you were like, this is not going to end well.
It's not working. Yeah.
Yeah,
So we,
let's dive in
okay.
the second round.
Second round. So some big names, I think, still in the second round. I think we had six reasonably good players in the second round, which was
Yeah.
Breece Hall, Drake London, Kenneth Walker, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Olave, just to recap. Round two, in my opinion, there's three guys here that are good players, and it's George Pickens, who went 2.1, James Cook, 2.2, and it's Rashad White, who went 2.7. I think outside of that, these are pretty much all huge misses with one maybe question mark. What do you
Yep.
think about this round?
Totally agree. Like, this it makes you hurt for those last three picks of the first round, where it was Sky Moore, Kenny Pickett, Jahan Dotson, that you flip to the second round and you immediately have George Pickens and James Cook. Like,
Yeah.
either of those two would have been such better options for the teams at the end of the first round. And it shows why those, early seconds have value. Like, a lot of times it's the end of the first and the beginning of the second all kind of muddled together. And, who, when you're picking at the end of the first, you have to figure out what matters the most to you. And a lot, sometimes you miss. But anyway, yeah, like, I think the big difference between the first and the second round is the second round has its hits, but there's so many misses, and like the misses are, off rosters at this point. So
Yes.
it's getting swapped. So just to recap the full second round for you guys. So George Pickens was the first pick, James Cook, Dameon Pierce, Isaiah Spiller, Christian Watson, Desmond Ridder, Rashad White, our own David Bell, Jalen Tolbert, Alec Pierce. Couple names in here where you're like, man, if you're really stretching, like Christian Watson's not a terrible asset, definitely. Like,
He's the question mark to me. I think, yeah.
Alec Pierce has had a good two games, but he was terrible for 2 years. Like,
And no
Dameon
Josh
Pierce had a
Downs. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Dameon Pierce had a good rookie year, but has been nothing since. This it's a dark round, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, it is. And you see, you really look back on Dylan's draft, which is 1.3 Treylon Burks, 2.3 Dameon Pierce. That is a pretty garbage first two picks for an early first and an early second to go those two. Now, obviously, Dylan did fine with that. His team is still fine, but man, it was rookie fever. I do think I need to shout myself out a little bit here, Brian. You look at the second round, there's some pretty good picks there with George Pickens, Christian Watson, Rashad White. David Bell was a pure homer pick there because I loved him. But the th three of the four best players in the second round, all
Yeah.
on one team, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
I agree. No, I as much as I hate to admit it, I do agree.
Thanks for
I'm not gonna give you any more airtime in the second round.
that.
Moving to the third round. Third round, like, way better than the second round, in my opinion. It,
Relatively, yeah. Yeah, I would
yeah,
agree.
like, so we'll give you the run through picks 1 through 10 in this order. Wan'Dale Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, Malik Willis, Zamir White, Trey McBride, Brian Robinson, Jelani Woods, Romeo Dobbs, John Mechie, Kyren Williams. At 310, what
It
stands
might
out?
be better than the second round, honestly. I
I think it
mean,
is. I think it totally is.
Brian Robinson, Dobbs, Kyren Williams. I mean, Kyren Williams,
McBride.
yeah, McBride. I mean, those four are really good. And Zamir White, something might be there. Allgeier had a good rookie year. Wan'Dale Robinson, I don't think is dead. Like there's more players holding value in this round than the second round. And I think even the top is, I mean, Kyren Williams and Trey McBride are probably similar asset values to George Pickens and James Cook, if not maybe even a little bit higher. So I actually think I would prefer the third round over the second. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think so too. If you were, if we were just evaluating this, where the picks were, this is third round's definitely better. I mean, Kyren Williams is a star. He's an RB1, maybe a low end RB1, maybe high end RB2. But Brian Robinson, like we talked about, for some reason, nobody, including myself in this league, really values him, but he's been a good player. Trey McBride. Just it I just it pains me to even say that name, but for the amount of time that I invested into him before he broke out, but he looks great. Yeah, I mean there's more value being held in this round than there was in the second.
Yeah, it has me thinking about when I've said, oh, you throw that third round pick in there, it doesn't really work out. I think in retrospect, 2022 was a really weird draft year, and that because there were no QBs that were really that good, it had a run on the skill position players and it got shallow really fast.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when we look back on the 2024 draft, that late first and mid to late second round is going to look really good because there were so many QBs going off the board early. This year, it just seems like it was a total crapshoot after you got past those early picks because there was just no QBs to guarantee the front, seven, eight picks on the board.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Brian, we'll wrap really quickly with the fourth round. Pretty much all garbage, in my opinion. The picks are Tyrion Davis Price, Tyquan Thornton, Keyonte Ingram, Matt Corral, Khalil Shakir. Sorry about that, Brian. Sam Howell, Hassan Haskins, Okongwu, Dolchich, and Bellinger. I don't think there's any of, I mean, Khalil Shakir is probably the only player still rostered. There might be a couple, and it might be an accident. I think Okongwu is, but I
I
don't think
have
there's
Sam
really,
Howell, but he's only
okay.
because he's a backup.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anyone here that is a must roster at this point. It's purely like if you still speculate, but almost no value at this point. What do you think?
This is ironic. I actually have multiple players in this round because I also have Dulcich. So Dulcich is still on my roster and Sam
It's a
Howell.
testament to your bench, Brian,
I
the
know.
quality of your bench.
I know. I can't believe I'm actually admitting to this, but and then up until a week ago, I had Khalil Shakir too. So this was my round, apparently. Your round was the second round. Mine was the fourth. I don't know how I feel about that, but yeah. So it's a graveyard. Like fourth round picks, you have, essentially a 1 in 10 shot of getting a flex player. And one in 10 shot at getting a backup quarterback. So for anybody hoarding fourths, that's what you're going for. But it kind of, I feel like what we learned from this one is like not necessarily that second and third round picks are energy, but that if you play your cards right and things break your way, there could be some good value in the third round.
I agree. It's an interesting thing to look back on, and there were teams that definitely took advantage of it. I'm glad to see that, three rounds of picks, 30 players, there's good stuff out there. So if anything, I hope this is encouraging to play teams like Ongood or Sloan. And Ongood just made that big trade last year where he traded a second for I think like 4/3. And I always thought that was weird, but when you look back on this, it kind of, at that point, would you rather just get picks up on the board and see if you can get some players to hit? You
Yeah.
never feel this way when you come up on draft season. You always want that early second instead of the volume of picks. But man, that drop off after James Cook, I think is just rough, in
Yeah.
terms of, I think that's where the draft really died.
Yeah.
So yeah, good analysis. This is fun. I like this.
It'll be awesome in the, coming weeks to see how this compares to the 2023 class and 2024 class.
For sure. Okay, Brian, I think it's been a great podcast. This has been maybe one of my all-time favorites. I
Me
really
too.
enjoyed this one. This
Me
has been
too.
a really good one.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining. Anything else you want to add before we close today?
Just I hope everybody enjoyed the pod. I loved the surprise. That was so much fun. Yeah, and everybody enjoy week three. Don't start taking football for granted quite yet. It's a good time of year.
It is a great time of year. Thank you so much, Brian. We will talk again next week.
Good deal. See you, Josh.
See ya.